Hello.
Hey, Carlo, it's Garrett. How are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
I'm always fantastic. Figured I'd give you a buzz. I know we're going to the holiday season. I was curious if you ever ran into that lady that was doing all those treatments. How she was doing? With a heart shape?
She's still doing them. So
Oh,
she
that's
actually
just something
got did
happened, huh?
another treatment. So she's
Goodness.
probably holding off for right now.
Yeah, no, understandable. What's been good though? I know there's got to be something else you've been working on.
So what is the value, or what do you have in a 7-carat round brilliant XXX KVS2?
KVS2, let's see.
KVS2.
Okay, in that parcel I got 5.5. Hold on, let's see. I might have to call you
It's
back on a 7. Why, are they looking to sell or are they looking to?
okay, so let me tell you what I got. I got a deal that I sold this lady a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And prices were a little higher, I think, than they are today.
For
But
sure.
she stuck. She even tells me that because, I didn't book it like that because, of course, she was trading something in. So I put the trade-in value of what I had originally paid and this, and I gave her what she thought she was getting, one of those type of deals.
Sure.
Believe me, when it was all said and done, I still had to come out with money to finalize the deal. I mean, it was that tight. I made money, but
But you
only
didn't,
after I
yeah, but
sold
it's
the
not like you
trade.
took advantage. You just, yeah, now she probably thinks you
Well, she
overcharged.
doesn't think. No, she wants what she wants for it. So she's trying to tell me that, she paid basically $12,500 more than what I booked it at, of how she thought she was getting the trade in and all that. And so I can sell her stone if I get the full price, or whatever I sell it for, if she agrees, I get a 10% commission to sell it for. But I don't want to sell it and not make, $25,000 if there's another stone available for the same kind of money.
Right, I get
Because
you.
I may have somebody that wants to buy it, and, I don't mind showing her stone, but I'm sure every smart dealer that's out there, they don't give a shit. They sell what they can sell and make as much as they can.
Yes.
I don't know if it's possible. I just figure, let me see what the current market is for something like this. Do you have anything in that zone or?
Not really, only because it my inventory jumps up to a 10. But I might we have an event this weekend and we bring in a bunch of stuff for it. I'm trying to think. 1019 NVS2 is 180,000. This is a 7-carat KVS2 that she currently owns, and it's GIA triple X. Let me see what I can put together for a price for
What
you.
do you think? Well, let me ask you a question then. Let's flip it. It's 17,000 a carat. What do you think that stone's worth? How much back a wrap in today's market would you think that would
I
trade for?
couldn't tell you because wrap only goes to fives. So
Well, it goes to 5, and then it go, to 5.99. And then there's a whole nother page that if it's triple X with no fluorescence and this and this and this and that, if it meets all these criteria, then you can add at this category, if it's VS2, you add 15% per carat, type of deal. I mean, there's a wrap, but, I'm just wondering how much less or if it would trade.
Well, here's the one thing that I can tell you. I can't give you a price, and I can't even speculate. However, I do know that the larger carat weights changed less than any other category. 2 carat and below got destroyed. So when people are like, well, things are a lot cheaper now, they're a lot cheaper, but for smaller carat weights. A lot of the bigger stuff, that's why my guy, my buyer, he likes to buy a lot of this bigger stuff. Like I'm looking at a page. Unfortunately, they're not round. They're a lot of fancies because those are what's going to be difficult to get. But actually, let me look at one more thing and see if I have Oh, that's an emerald. That's our 15-carat round, and then it goes down to sixes. So, or excuse me, 5.5. Like, I have a, well, actually, this gives you an idea. I have a 519 KVS2 mounted.
Okay.
And it's, the mounting's simple. It's just got baguettes. So we'll just call it, oh, shit, the cushion. Never mind, it looks like a round. And it's $74,000. A round's going to be more money.
Yeah.
But to my original point,
well, that sounds about right. I mean, I paid, when I originally bought the stone, I paid $97,500 for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's,
so
I mean, it's
I
a 7-carat, and it's a KVS2 GIA XXX.
Mm-hmm.
So what that it's a K? That's actually ideal in my world.
Yeah, the discount's already taken out of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay,
yeah.
I just, you know, I guess if I, but she, you know, she's asking me to get $135,000 for it. That's why I asked you if you had anything like it, you know, for $100 again, I'll make $35 instead of $13,500.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it
saying?
Makes sense. Yeah, I know what you're saying. The. But
I mean,
do you have a customer
have
in mind
a
for it?
Yeah, he's already told me he's thinking about it. So,
oh, okay.
I can always show him something and tell him, look, go with this one. You know,
yeah.
He's that kind of.
Well, and does it have to be a K? Could it be an LN? Just something nice and big? What's your guy want?
Probably not, because she's going to set it in platinum.
Oh, K is probably the bottom.
Yeah.
For platinum.
I think it's hit the bottom. Yeah, it's going to be a necklace and then platinum, and I don't want it to show yellow.
Yeah. So what did you say? Was it 130? The one that you have, was it 130 wholesale or
she's
retail?
She's not going to get 135. I mean, she's
no.
Gonna, I don't think he's going to offer me that. If he does, you know, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
If he's going to offer me the whole value of what she's asking for.
Well, what
But she
oh,
also
yeah, yeah.
told me a while ago she wasn't going to sell it for less. So. Not a while ago, but...
Well, let's find something else for the guy, though. But, like, so...
Well, that's why I'm talking to you, because...
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Like...
I mean, does anybody want to spend? No.
No.
But,
does he want a... does it have to be a 7? Does it have to be he just wants his big...
No,
like, what?
No, it doesn't, but it's she's wearing an 8-carat. I think she's wearing an 8-carat I bought from you.
No.
Yeah.
8-carat. Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know when it would have been, because that 3-carat that Mike sold you is the biggest one that we've sold together.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
if it were an 8 for me, that'd be fantastic, because I'd take it back and trade and we'd get her whatever they want. But why going down? Are they going nicer in quality, or what was
no,
the
no, no.
It?
No, no, no. She's not. I forgot who I bought it from, but that doesn't matter.
Well,
they
might help
it.
You with the trade. Are they insistent on the next purchase involves the trade?
Oh, okay. So that stone, she's keeping it. It's
okay.
It's on her ring. She
gotcha.
Wants a pendant. You know, she's like, well, you know, is there anything I can woo you with? And she said, well, you know, I've always wanted a pendant. Well, she wears an 8-carat, so, you know, it's not like.
Yeah, you don't want to blow away the engagement ring with a pendant that's bigger than it.
She had a 5 originally. And then that 5, after I took it on trade, I basically swallowed it. But the 5-carat was laser drilled. It had one laser drill hole, and I missed it. So I ended up still selling it.
Yeah.
With the GIA certificate with the disclosure. But I basically gave them, you know, some crazy number, fictitious number, basically swallowed up all of it, and I think it cost me $7,000 or something to buy that stone for her. But so I had some money in it, but not that much. You know.
Well, let me take a look, because I would love to try and sell a pendant to this lady. I mean, is she against laser drilled?
That somebody
she wants
got
a,
her in.
Beaumont. She wants a GIA?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then I'll
she's
do
not
GIA.
Gonna buy, yeah, she's not going to buy something, you know, that's not worth the investment again. You know, she already learned her lesson.
Well, and not for nothing, though. You are a lifetime trade, right? Like.
Oh, yeah, no. That's,
yeah.
That's a neat deal y'all got going. Oh, my daughter, by the way, she's engaged now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Do you
so
like
that's
it?
Why I gotta, she loves it. Yeah, she thinks it's great. He loved it. She loved it. Everybody's happy.
Good.
With that part, anyways.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Triple
yeah.
X, what about fluorescence? Does that matter?
You know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's all in how you sell that and how it looks and all that.
Well, and a K color might not look bad.
The K color has faint. But you don't really get dinged for none or faint.
No. It's medium to strong is really the. And I'm trying to figure out what I would put. So not an 8, but she might humor a 6 for a pendant.
Yeah. You know,
let me
see
what I have it, because again, we're buying and filling up for the buying event this weekend. We got to get you out here to one of them, Carlo. It'd be great.
I know. There's just every time I saw it advertising the thing, and I was like, yeah, that just sounds like it's going to cost me a bunch of money.
Well, here's the deal. Like, you know, yes, it's a buying event, capital B, but A, we don't flip you upside down by your ankles and shake it. It's actually not why we do it. We do it to provide great opportunities when it comes to the loose.
Opportunities. That's
right, opportunities. However, like I had one of my my main clients from Seattle. He flew out. Mind you, he's IJO, he's RJO. He goes to Vegas, and he used to sell on the wholesale side. He used to sell it for Lazar Kaplan. So he's a make junkie, and he's not easy, but he came and said, hands down, this is the best experience he's had by way of clinics and the buying opportunity. So, like, and I mind you, he is not what you would consider a store that buys heavy. Since he started working with me, he even told everybody at the roundtable discussions, I changed the way that he operates, and he has seen exponential growth by having. Now, by having, making an investment in his store through RDI Diamonds, but a safe one because of the lifetime trade. You know, he'll take 50 to 100K in inventory, all loose, and then trade out what doesn't sell. And you have any idea how many people I've saved, Carlos, because of the decrease in costs on things? I mean, other vendors, you know, you were the last to touch it, and you touched it last in 2002 or 2022, and you paid, you know, 40% more than you have to pay now. That's a hard item to sell. I take that back in full trade because I'm interested in the turn. I know I'm going to eat it on that, but I would rather sell it and get you out of an item that you can't move. You know,
yeah.
Wax sticky with you, because that doesn't help me. If you sell a care and a half, I'm hoping you call me and say, hey, I need to replace my care and a half. But, you know, that's the whole point. Like, my favorite example is I think it was 2 years ago, he bought a Carat 40 JVS1 for me, $7,800. Uh-huh. It's now in my inventory for $4,200. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't want to do that all at once. Shit, that would even tank us, but we stand behind it. And
sure.
We know that if you buy
it,
you sell
it's up. A great program.
Yeah.
It's a great program.
Yeah.
It's somebody's, you know, got that part slicked up, how you're going to sell so much and
right
so much, and I mean I think it's a good program, so
yeah, well, let's take advantage of it, and then let me see if I can find a 6 carat, because if you that'd be easy sell to this customer. She cares about that, you know, like maybe she doesn't want to wear a round pendant, she wants to do something else crazy with it. All right, send it back in trade, we'll do something else crazy with it. But if the other,
okay,
I'm going to see
at,
if I can find something that's less than 135, and that's 135 is what she wants to get out of it retail, right?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. That's a lot of diamond for
her. I'm trying to get her to buy something from me, which would put a bunch of, like, you know, hey, buy this. I got these hoop earrings. And I have some that I've made for $85,000, and then I've got some that I've made for $55,000. And so,
Paolo, is that something you sell a lot of? These big pieces like that? You own $85,000 hoops?
Well, okay. So let me tell you about these. They're these inside outside hoops.
Yeah.
I made them, and they're 16.67 carats. So each stone is larger than a carat.
Yeah, those are huge. What ears can hold those up?
they don't weigh. They're pretty good size, but you know they're on the dressier, sexy side.
Yeah, I got you.
But they're not more than like, you know, I think my normal size that I make is like 13 grams total for both of them. And so these are like, I don't know, they're heavier. But they're not more than 13 grams each, because I think there's a critical line that women don't like them then after a certain weight, you know.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, this is jewelry school 101, but basically over 17 grams, I think, becomes a problem for women. So you got to be careful about how heavy they are. But not to send you a picture, they're beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff, though, that I get intrigued by, to be honest. Like, those bigger items are what we are seeing.
Moving ooh, right now.
Yeah,
that's
right now.
People with money.
Correct.
Yeah. I would wholesale them to another dealer. I've tried for $65,000. Still hasn't worked. But $55,000 pair, I'm trying to get her to – I won't take a commission on the $135 sale if you buy my earrings for $55,000.
Right. Okay.
So I'm trying to sell her, trade her, give her some cash, give her something new. But the $55,000 earrings, they're 72 to 90 pointers, and again, 16 stones.
Right.
They're all pretty nice stones. They're not, I mean, there's nothing worse than, I would say, SI2. SI2. So, you know, they were more valuable back then. I think they cost me like $36,000 in cost.
How'd you come across something like that? I'm trying to get a sense of how you buy. Do you just buy over the counter?
So I made these. So this is stuff that I had acquired over the years in terms of buying, and I took them out of mountings. I got tired of having so many engagement rings and, you know, people buying larger stuff from me. I had too many small stuff. So
yeah.
I just pour them all out of the rings and made, you know, earrings out of them. These are some popular earrings that I sell, and I do them with quarters. And then I make another pair with thirds. And so I've sold several of those. And so the style is the same, but these are just much larger.
Okay. Gotcha.
I basically stole the design from my Paul Carter days, when Paul Carter was in business, when I had the Patek Philippe franchise, what my lawyer called the Fine Watch Participation Agreement, which is how I got into the business to start with.
Gotcha.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I was actually in the plastics business. And so I retired from the plastics business, and I was in the jewelry. You know, I made an investment in what my lawyer called the Fine Watch Participation Agreement, and we had Patek Philippe. And that's how I got into the business. My cousin had a place in the Heights in Houston. And so I was seeing the designs that Paul was, you know, the latest stuff. And these are a spinoff from IJM. They won a design award years and years ago for these inside-outside hoops. I mean, they're still manufactured. They've changed a few things, and I don't put little diamonds on the side. It's really kind of my own design. I do a little more curve to it. I change them up a little bit, but they're essentially their hoop earrings.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I'm just thinking, I mean, if there's a piece that obviously I'd help you out if I had a call for something, but and I'd ask you, because again, like I never really thought that you'd have some pieces like that. I mean, big pieces that you probably had, and like you said, you put them together over years of breakouts. Like, that's phenomenal. Instead of having a baggie of 1 carat rounds, throw them, or 90s or 70s, you know?
I still have a 2 or 3 trays of engagement stuff, you know?
From over-the-counter purchases?
No, it was just, you know, I was buying closeouts and buying different things. I bought some from Zadig years ago. I bought, you know, Tacori mountings and different mountings that I've got, and, you know, closeout. And I just, you know, started putting different stones in them. And I sell some and I don't sell some. I'm just, the problem is because I'm a private clientele jeweler.
Yeah.
I don't do the volume that I need. I basically have $4 million in inventory.
Oh, wow.
I don't do enough sales per year to justify
having $4 million in inventory. That's a full store, by the way. I work with a jewelry store that has 5 employees and less inventory than you do. That's awesome. That's not a critique.
Everybody tells me, you should open a store. You should open a store. You should open a store. And I just don't want the responsibility or the overhead. I was at the lake this morning until, till 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I came to Houston, and, you know, I have an appointment tomorrow. And, you know.
Don't listen to those people. You don't want to open a store, because all the stores that I talk to want to do what you're doing. They want to go appointment only, right? But, like, okay. Maybe you get more exposure, maybe you get more clients moving through with the amount of inventory you have, but if you market yourself, and like you said, I know where you're going. You went fishing this morning.
Well, I would, but I didn't do anything but have coffee and look at the lake, and I watched two herons that walk around in front of my place over there on the water, and just watched the birds and drank coffee. So, I didn't. I'm not that ambitious.
You open up a jewelry store. You are in that store constantly.
I know.
And then, like you said,
I don't want it.
You've got to figure, you know, an alarm goes off while you're trying to relax. So you got to think,
God knows.
Are my people that I've hired to sell my goods stealing from me? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you're doing it right. And you know, it's. But I had no idea you had that much inventory. Like that.
Sometimes my pay is reflective of my choices. But
makes sense.
You know, I do probably a little less than $1 million a year in sales.
Okay.
And
for a one-man show, that's good. I've got stores that do less than that. For a one-man show, that's real good, Carl.
I'm a one-man dog and pony show.
You and me. Yeah, so I work with jewelry stores all over the country. I work with privates as well. And, you know, if I had to trade, I mean, yeah, we work with giant companies that are
$96 billion.
Sure, but, like, that's not who we built our business on. It's actually guys such as yours that have – because now I like working with you because I know you're the guy selling. If you have a jewelry store and then you got a rep that comes to you and goes, hey, I got a call for 2 carat round, it's got to be G or better, BS or better, but I know that Carlo can sell K, XXX medium all day. You know, like, I can work with Carlo. Carlo is working directly with the customer. You know, a lot of these big businesses that we deal with.
Anybody else. Yeah.
No. It's funny that. The qualifying and things like that. Hey, I need a diamond. All right, what do you need? A good one. Oh.
A good one. Yeah.
Fantastic. Why didn't you say so? One or two. But Anyway, listen, I'm going to go find a diamond for you. We're going to go sell it, okay?
Okay. All right. I'll let you go.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.